Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menashe. This is the weekend edition where we interview notable people from the world of real estate investing. Today is no exception. We have a great guest all the way from Lincoln, Nebraska. Welcome to the show, Greg Moore.
Thank you, Victor. I appreciate you having me on your show today.
Well, great to have you here. Now, Greg, you don't come strictly from the world of real estate investing. You're really more involved in businesses, but the line is pretty blurry often between investors and business owners. So I'm excited to have this conversation. Before we dive into the details, maybe give a little bit of your backstory and how you got to this point in your journey.
Well, you know, first starting out back in the 70s, aging myself for a little bit, when I was in high school, the first kind of business or the first kind of jobs that we usually got was fast food. Well, as it turned out, I started working for a Taco Bell, and I moved up in the Taco Bell world for a while there, worked with them about 4 or 5 years, and ended up managing a lot of restaurants, and come to find out that the person that I worked for was a master franchisee, and she owned about 50 different Taco Bells throughout the Sacramento, California area. So I worked for her, and that was my first foray into learning about franchises. And I went on to manage other restaurants, not just Taco Bell. Lion's Restaurant, kind of like an upscale Denny's, went on to become, did that for about 15 years, got bored with that, went to college, got a couple of degrees, and got a job as a microelectronic circuit engineer for Motorola Semiconductor. And then while I was doing that, another engineering friend of mine and myself, while we were working, we bought the dry cleaners, and that had about 4 different drop-off locations, some storage units, and got into real estate investing too, property management as well on that. We did that together for a while, and then I got a degree in business, and then decided that, or the job decided that I was no longer needed over there. So I thought, after doing that for 15 years and being a restaurant manager for 15 years, it's time to go out there and step out and do my own thing. So I thought that franchising thing was really cool back then when I was working for Taco Bell. I got to go out there, and I've got to get myself a franchise. So indeed I did. And one of the issues that everybody has when they're out there looking to get into franchising is which one's the best one. So I went click happy. Got all sorts of people calling me, but I finally got a hold of a franchise consultant who found the right franchise for me. So I did that for a while, ran that business, and I decided that this is a good gig. I love this franchising world. I want to help other people get into it as well. So I sold that one off and became a franchise consultant. Been doing that for just over 10 years now, and I haven't looked back since. It's been wonderful.
I love that. So I'm going to take you back to your Motorola Semiconductor days, because I was actually loaned to Motorola Semiconductor for a bunch of years working on in their microprocessor development team. So what part of the semiconductor sector were you part of?
Manufacturing over there in Austin, Texas at the manufacturing plant.
You were on Ed Bluestein Boulevard.
Right in Bluestein Boulevard. That is exactly correct, Victor. That's cool that we both know that one. Yep, I worked in that. We put all those little wafers, if any. Probably people don't know out there what a wafer is, but if you take a big old chunk of silicon, slice it up into thin slices, you've got yourself what's called a wafer. And on top of that, they imprint all the different designs. So you might get 100 to 1,000 different of the same kind of chip, you know, on the wafers themselves. They go through the manufacturing process as an engineer. I analyze that and try to make every single one of those devices on that wafer functional. And that was the biggest challenge. And at the same time, getting them through the line to get manufactured as quickly as possible. For those people who are wondering what a chip is, open up your phone, take it apart. You see those little things in there? Those are microchips. And that's what we did, is manufacture microchips.
Yeah, boy, so many familiar names. I was friends with Murray Goldman, who ran the microprocessor and memory technology group in Austin. He was at the Oak Hill facility, but all of that reported into him. So anyway.
Cool.
Okay, well, very cool. So we're talking about franchising, and often real estate owners have commercial property. They're looking to maybe better utilize some of that commercial space. Sometimes the idea is to find the right tenant. Sometimes it's just get your own business in there. And I see that a lot. Tell me what you're seeing in the marketplace today. I mean, it's a difficult environment. Franchising is one of those things where you often have to bring a substantial capital investment. Often the franchisor is looking for the owner of that business to be very hands-on and involved in the day-to-day operation of it. Can you talk a little bit about when and where a franchise makes sense for an investor?
Absolutely, Victor. Great question. One that I get a lot from all my people out there. So the first one, the monetary investment. When we're cruising down the road, we see businesses. Those are the brick and mortar ones. We see those on a regular basis. That's what we think about franchising. When we think about franchising, those are the ones we think about. Brick and mortar. Yeah, 300,000 on up, generally speaking, maybe a little less than that for total investment for some of those. Everybody sees the McDonald's, the Taco Bell's, Meineke's, Amco, Supercuts, Great Clips. What they don't see is a business, the services industry business. So the service industry business, you're looking at a total investment of around 150,000. So small office, maybe work from home if you need to. You can help business owners become better business owners, do some consulting work, senior care, tutoring. Home improvement is the biggest thing that I had with a lot of my people that are real estate investors that really love that. HVAC systems, electrical, plumbing, groundskeeping, maintenance. Those are the ones that a lot of my real estate investors, since they work with those people on a regular basis, they kind of know that business. They don't have to know it, you know, specifically, but they got a general idea of how it operates. Those are the ones that they go for. $150,000 investment, give or take, is what you're looking at there. So not necessarily a whole lot of money. Well, depending on your point of view, of course, but not as much as if you were to get into a brick and mortar. Now, with either the brick and mortar or the services industry on that one, there are franchises, as you indicated, Victor, that some of them require you to be full-time, but not all of them do. Quite often, there's many of them out there that are what we call semi-absentee. So you'd be looking at about 10 or 15 hours a week managing the manager and managing the profit and loss statements. And there's probably about four franchises out there that'll actually have a management team run it for you. So your time commitment is not necessarily full-time. You don't have to do it full-time. Just about every industry that you can think of out there probably has a franchise in it and has a few franchises that you can run semi-absentee.
Now, franchise law is typically governed, at the state level, and there's a lot of restrictions. I think there's a number of businesses out there that are trying to develop what is in essence a franchise, but they're calling it a license agreement instead of a franchise agreement. How often do you see that, and is it playing in the gray zone? Is that something that potential investors should be concerned about?
There's going to be the difference that you're going to see there, Victor, and the difference between licensing and franchising is that the licensing is a little bit more loose and a little bit more open, as you indicated there. With a franchise, generally speaking, about 99% of the franchises, they're going to have a specific territory for you that where this is going to be yours. No other franchisee in their system can come in there and operate. And they're going to give you a geographic location. If it's a brick and mortar, it's probably going to be miles radius. If it's a services industry, you're going to have a couple hundred thousand people or a couple hundred thousand homes with 100,000 or more household incomes on that, where nobody else can come in there on that one. With licensing, they're just selling a license. It doesn't matter who, doesn't matter where, they're selling a license. So you could have competition there. With the franchise system, you've got your what they call their franchise disclosure document. So it really gives you a good breakdown of who's operating the franchise. Do they have no litigation in there? Do they have any bankruptcies? The number of people operating the franchise who started it, the number of people who operated the franchise and are no longer running it. So you've got a list of people to call. You can get pretty easy math to see what their success rate is. A licensing agreement is not going to be that in-depth. There's not quite as many rules and regulations with that. So it's a little bit more challenging to do something in-depth with a licensing agreement. And we do have a few franchises out there that we refer to as business opportunities that are not franchises. So you really have to be very careful with those and make sure you do your due diligence. A lot of it yourself, because you're not going to get necessarily a lot of help from the licensees on that because they don't necessarily have to supply you with that information, whereas with a franchise, they do.
A complaint I often hear is that when a territory becomes available for, I don't know, fill in the blank, Dunkin' Donuts, McDonald's, whatever, that franchise goes to someone who's actually already experienced. They already have a dozen, and now they're going to get number 13 in their portfolio, as opposed to training somebody new who's just starting out in franchising. What's your perspective on that?
It's going to vary greatly by the franchise system itself on that. Once you start getting into the franchises that have 100 or 1,000 franchisees, then sometimes they're a little bit more picky about who they put into that particular territory there. And quite often they will offer it up to franchisees that are in the area and see if they want that territory. As long as they're operating their business very well and they're very profitable, they'll offer that to you. That's one of the things that I'll do for people is I'll check to make certain. And the only franchises I'll bring back to them are franchises that have available territory in there. But again, that goes to the franchise system itself. Each one of them varies quite a bit on that. So no specific franchises come to mind that do that. Most of the franchises I work with are very open to bringing in new people in there. But there is a qualification process that you go through. And as long as you're well qualified for that, and they'll put you right in there, more than happy to do so. They're looking for good qualified people, and if and they'll offer, you know, territories up to others. But if they don't want to do it, then that territory is wide open for whoever wants to get into it. It's a mutual qualification process on both ends when I'm talking to people and we're going through the franchise process. The franchisor is going to make certain that you're the type of person they're looking for. And since I get to know the franchises on a regular basis, I already know who they're looking for in potential successful franchisees. Once I get to know my people, then I know who they're looking for in a potential franchise. So I put them together, I do the matchup, and then you both go through, both the franchisor and my candidates will then go through the process of making certain that each one and each other is a good fit for what they're looking for.
We often think of franchises as a business in a box where all the systems have been worked out. It eliminates a lot of the operational risk that is inherent in what would be otherwise considered a startup business. From the point of view of the franchisee, that reduces the risk on their investment fairly substantially.
That is correct.
At least that's the theory. That's the theory. What do you see in practice?
I think you're exactly right on there on that one. So what you're going to do is you're going to be looking at the franchises. Now, with that theory, there comes a couple of caveats there. One is that they have reproduced that in many other locations. That's the first thing you want to look at there, is how many locations have they reproduced that at? Of course, the more the merrier, but the more that you have, as you indicated before, then the territories are somewhat limited once they get larger. So once you get to franchises that have 100 or more franchisees, which is about 5% of the franchises out there, territories become a little bit more limited. But exactly what you're looking for there is just that, Victor. You want to know that they've reproduced it. You want to know they've reproduced it enough times so that it reduces your risk when you go to pick that franchise, that they can reproduce it in your city as well. You're going to be going through the process of talking to many franchisees about how everything went. Franchisees that we put you in front of, and I make certain you get in front of as many franchisees as it takes. Those franchisees are going to be brutally honest about what's going on in that franchise system. They don't hold back on that. They'll let you know how that franchisor did, helping them grow. But exactly what you're looking for there is that all those processes and procedures have been done before. They've reproduced it before. You've got your emerging franchises where maybe you haven't done that as often, so a little bit more risk. So if you got into Orange Theory when it was emerging, your risk would have paid off. Some other franchises, maybe it wouldn't have paid off. You look at is how much do you want to reduce that risk? You want to reduce it a lot? Go with franchises that have 100, 200, 500 franchisees. You know they've reproduced it enough time to where you're just going to step right in, follow their policies and procedures, do what they've done before, and you get to where you want to be 2 to 3 years quicker than if you were to do it yourself.
Love it. Well, Greg, if folks want to connect, if they want to learn more, what's the best way?
You can go to my website, franchisemaven.com. That's franchise, M-A-V as in Victor, E-N.com. Send me an email, greg@franchisemaven.com, or just pick up the phone and give me a call at 361-72-6401.
Well, terrific. Well, Greg, great to catch up. And for the listeners at home, definitely connect with Greg Moore at franchisemaven.com. The link will be in the show notes. And in the meantime, have an awesome rest of your weekend. Go make some great things happen. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.